Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Thursday, January 11th. I am Mr. Jolly of Sydney. What else could you be with a name like that except Jolly? And you can find me at that address on Twitter or handle. My partner, the other host of this podcast, is Scotty Harland. He is a.k.a. The Harlander, H-A-R-Lander23 on Twitter. You can guess who his favourite player growing up in Australia was, can't you? And probably work out his age, or at least have a bit of a guess at it. Shout out to the big knobs from Hoopball. As ever, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. Aaron Bruski, Dan Besperus, all of the editors and podcasters and legendary DFS and betting advisors over there. Go out and check out hoop-ball.com. One of the best things going in the fantasy NBA world. And one of the best things going in Hoopball is my guest today. It is Thursday night. I am excited. You can tell by the sound in my voice because I have got the middleman, Brent Middleman here. Brent!
What's up, y'all? Hey, Mr. Jolly. Glad to be here.
That was a bit of a low-key response after I built that up. You're not a closet Philadelphia 70. You're not a closet Philadelphia 76ers fan, are you?
No, not at all. Definitely not. The exact opposite. A big Warriors fan. We got two wins in a row, looking for a third, but we played Brooklyn Saturday night, so not getting my hopes up, but who knows? Maybe all three guys will sit because it seems like those guys can never play all at the same time these days.
So how are you feeling as a Dubs fan? Like, have you kind of exceeded expectations? Because the season started off pretty rough and Curry looked really rough. I think we talked about it on this show at one point that his field goal percentage was down and we worried about that. But now he's on a per game basis inside the top three. And he's just looking very, very good, isn't he? And the team itself, Oubre seems to not be Oubric every game anymore. You've got Toscano Anderson going off. It's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, the bench has been a lot better than I thought. After a slow start, Oubre's been, you know, the guy they kind of hoped they were going to get. A little disappointing with all the injuries, but they played really well with the small ball lineup. And Curry is, I mean, he's playing the best basketball I've seen him play in years. And he should definitely be a front runner for MVP because, I mean, you take Curry off this Warrior team and you probably have the worst team in the league. But with him on the team and playing, they are a playoff team. And that's about the best we can hope for. And hopefully they're healthy and hit their stride when we get to playoff time. And they're going to be a scary out because Curry can carry a team all on his own.
Yeah, now I just refreshed Basketball Monster. And earlier today, he was on a per-game basis, I think, sixth or seventh, and he is third. So God, I must be Nostradamus. Those guys between Curry and Irving in the 3 to 7 spots are very close together in terms of their rating. So Steph and Kawhi are basically tied in their value in third and fourth, and then Towns is just behind them. Durant is just behind them, and Irving is just behind them. Those guys are really clearly in that sort of 3 to 7 range at the moment, with Damian Lillard just a little bit behind. Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid in the first and second on a per-game basis kind of leading off. I had another couple of quick questions for you before we jump into the rest of the show. Wondering about Zinger, Porzingis. Is he cooked?
No, I don't think so. He's just a streaky guy. He's a big man who doesn't like to play big. He likes to shoot a lot of threes, so therefore he's going to be streaky. And it's just something you got to deal with. He's going to shoot, you know, go through stretches where he's shooting, you know, in the 20 to 30% range. But he'll pick it back up. He's going to get hot again. It's only a matter of time. There's no one else on that team to do it other than Doncic, so he's going to have to get hot again.
Now, from a fantasy perspective, you can't really complain. Like, he's come back from injury a bit earlier than we thought. He really only missed basically a month of the season. He's 38th on a per-game basis, right around DeMar DeRozan, Clint Capella, Al Horford, who's been great over the last week, Rashawn Holmes, Chris Boucher, who we'll talk about later. So the value's not bad, but the on-court impact seems to be what is worrying people. So that's something that we'll look out for. I stashed Porzingis in a few leagues, and so far that's been really good. But then every now and then I see this stuff like, oh, he has a bad game. People say, he's cooked, he's done. And they were not great to start the season, but we'll just wait and see what happens. I guess now that they've got all their guys back, they probably do improve a bit. The next question I had was, I was going to talk about Miami. Miami won four games in a row. Let's just segue into the first box score, shall we, and talk about Miami at the same time. They won their fourth game in a row, as I mentioned, 101-94 over the Houston Rockets, who don't look very good without Christian Wood at all, do they?
No, they don't. They just don't have anybody who can dominate like he can. Oladipo, you know, is still, as well as he has been playing, he's still up and down. John Wall's very inconsistent too. Wood was the most consistent player they had. So when he's out of the lineup, they just can't keep any runs sustained.
Mm. Let's talk about Houston first. Come back to Miami then, because we started with Houston. Oladipo, my notes here say he was garbage. He had 6 points on 2 of 6 in 20 minutes. He just has not been good. John Wall was poor as well with his shooting. He had 17-7-1, which is okay, but it was 5 of 13 from the field and just 3 of 6 at the line with 5 turnovers. That's pretty rough. Cousins was solid. He had 16-11-3 with 3 for 4 from deep and a steal, but he doesn't contribute to winning basketball, even though that was a good fantasy line. Eric Gordon was okay. He had 17-4 with 3 threes, but the 3 of 10 shooting, he just continues to be streaky as F, that fella. Jay Sean Tate was sneaky good again. He's a guy who's hovering around that 130 mark on the season and top 100-ish in the last month. He had 16-7-2 with a steal on 7 of 11 shooting. Are you streaming Jay Sean Tate anywhere?
Yeah, and if I recall, I advised you to pick him up live on the air last week, and you picked him up while we were doing the podcast, so I hope he's paid off for you. You know, he's a strong player. And especially without Wood in the game, that's a lot of usage that has to spread around. And Cousins isn't going to score 16 points most nights. And that's going to go over to Tate. Or tonight it was Oladipo who kind of had a stinker. And that usage went over to Tate. So he's going to pick that up. And I think even once Wood gets back, he's going to sustain a pretty good role there. So he may even hold his value once Wood's back.
Yeah, now, you know, even though he didn't come in his rookie season, he's still only 25, and congratulations to Jay Sean. We'll call him a Sydney boy after playing over here for the Sydney Kings, because he looks like he's made a career for himself. And the field goal percentage, it was, again, very good, 7 of 11 today for a guard. His field goal percentage is quite excellent. We'll come to Miami now, though. They have won four games in a row, and part of the reason they're a lot better is pretty obvious, right? There's one big reason for that. What is it? Let me put you on the spot.
Jimmy Butler has been healthy and back to form. He's been amazing.
Yeah, Jay Butt, as I call him in my threads. He had 27-10-10 with 10 for 11 from the free throw line. He's 21st on a per game basis, don't look now. And he could be a steal depending on where you drafted him, because he was falling into the third round, and sometimes even in late into the third round, people were predicting that he was going to have a slow start and that he might not be very good this season. Well, he did have that slow start, but if you put up with it, wow, he's just been great. Bam is another one who's just taken off of late. He had 10, 13 and 8 with 2 steals, 4 or 5 at the line on just 8 shots. That is a pretty good line, 10, 13 and 8 with 2 steals. He's 23rd on the season, and he's another guy. I think people were drafting him around then. Were you high or low on Bam coming into the season?
Oh, I was really high on Bam. I have him in a bunch of spots. Just his ability to not only put up those big man stats with the blocks, but to also his passing game. You know, he's right up there with the Vucevic's and the Jokic's and those passing centers. So yeah, I thought he was a really solid value, especially where he was going, mid second round.
And Dunk Rob, well, he was better. He had 15 points, but you can guess where those 15 points came from, can't you? If I didn't say, they were 5 threes. He was 5 for 11 from deep, and he only took 11 shots. Dunk Rob, if he's been dropped in a league, would you grab him?
Yeah, I mean, if you need to, if you need threes and points, you know, he's going to get the minutes and he's going to get the shots, because they're gonna D up on Butler and Bam, and it's going to open it up for Robinson. And as long as Strus, who I'm sure you're going to get to in a minute, isn't in there stealing his thunder, he's going to get those threes. So if you need threes, go for it.
Yeah, I saw a funny thing online with Rockets fans talking about Max Strus being the guy that ended them today. Olynyk had 6 of 13. He was quietly awesome with those 13 rebounds. He had 2 threes. I think that's 9 or 10 games in a row with multiple threes for Kelly Olynyk. If he gets dropped after a couple of bad games, go and grab him, because he's a top 100 value guy, and he'll get those threes for you, which you love from a big man. Nunn was huge in terms of minutes anyway. He had 40 minutes, 16, 5, and 3 with 4 steals. Now tell us about Max Strus.
Yeah, I mean, Strus is one of those guys. He was known as a shooter, probably only really known by really deep league fantasy guys and dynasty leaguers. But we knew he could shoot. If you're in a dynasty league, he's definitely owned. I don't know that he's going to do this every night. They've got quite a few injuries here on Miami, but he's solid. So as long as Hero's out, Strus would be a good streamer.
Yeah, and he had one of the weirdest lines you'll see in fantasy. 21, 0, 0, 0, 0, and 0 with 5 threes and 4 for 4 from the foul line on 6 for 9 shooting. Didn't get a rebound, an assist, a steal, or a block, but he filled up the other categories for you. And deep league guy, and also potentially, like you said, a streamer that's worth streaming in, but doesn't have a lot of value, of course, when the team is full.
He makes Duncan Robinson look like a multi-cat stud.
There you go. It's Valentine's Day coming up. 2 million men are already using Manscaped products to groom. Make sure you're one of them. Valentine's Day is upon us. You don't know where the night is going to take you, and our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, are here to tell you need to use the best tools for the job. If your girl can't think of what to get you this year, tell her to get the gift that's for you and for her. The best way to get started is with the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0, full of the best products to keep you looking, smelling, and feeling nice. The Perfect Package, of course, is led by the revolutionary third-generation Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer with its advanced skin-safe technology, which prevents any messes on the bathroom floor and stuff like that, because it's waterproof. That's very important when it's time for Cupid to shoot his arrow, of course. The Perfect Package also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxes that will keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those over the old, used, stinky pair of boxes you have to these high-performance, anti-chafing boxes. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. That's the signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas. This cologne is a perfect complement to your collection. So all of this is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That is HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping. Your balls and the people who enjoy them will thank you. I need to tell you guys about the Fantasy Pass. I'll remind you, I've rabbited on about it so much by now. You probably already joined up. You're saying, shut up, Aaron. Well, or shut up, Mr. Jolly. But some of you have not signed up, and I know that for a fact, because we have a few hundred listeners here, and I just know that you're not all members. So you should sign up for the Fantasy Pass. It's still the best deal in the industry. It's just $4.99 a month. And now we're into the regular season. There is zero commitment. Sign up for 1 month for $5. If you don't like it, you can cancel. But we know you will love it. Always nice to have that option, though, isn't it? But I tell you, once you get on there and you start taking part in some of the great stuff there, such as the Discord chat, where you can chat with Brent the middleman himself and get one-to-one advice on your fantasy team, you will love it and you will stay. We also have things like the updated projections, new fantasy appraiser tools, schedule and streaming charts, pickups, drops, and our newest coolest feature, which I just mentioned, but I'll mention it again because it's so fucking good. That is the Discord server. It's like a Slack app, or like a chat, threaded chat app with lots of different threads on pickups and drops and on trade advice on all the different teams in there. There's DFS things, there's betting advice. It's just fantastic stuff. $4.99. You can get and you can just try it out. Just try it out for a month. Check out Hoop. Go out to hoop-ball.com and click on the Fantasy Pass ad just below the main media wall. Let's talk about the second game of the evening, which is the Boston Celtics up against the Toronto Raptors. This was a shite game, as they say in Scotland. Shite! Toronto were on a back-to-back. This was a bad game to watch. There was a six-minute stretch in the third quarter where Boston did not score, and for 4 minutes, Neither of them scored. It looked like a rec league, according to my notes here. Basically, the Celtics hit more threes, and that's why they won this game. It was all about Semi Ojeleye and Peyton Pritchard. Ojeleye had 21-5-3 with a steal on 5-for-12. Kemba Walker. Hold on. Ojeleye had 24-6. It's even better, with 6-of-8 from deep. Pritchard had 25-1, also 6-for-8 for deep. Kemba was 5 of 8 from deep. Between them, they had 17-for-24 from deep. Pritchard had 14 points in the first half. Ojeleye had 19. Those two are really the difference. Do either of them interest you?
I'm not as interested in Ojeleye. He just doesn't do enough across the board. Pritchard is a guy who's kind of been sneaky all season. He had a little bit of injury problems. Then Kemba Walker coming back took a little bit of shine off him. But, you know, if you're in a deeper league or you're in need of guard stats, Pritchard's a sneaky guy. He's not going to have six rebounds and no assists most nights. It's going to be sort of the opposite usually, but he's a great source of threes. He can score a lot. He gets steals and he can assist when he comes in. So I would go Pritchard over Ojeleye if you're looking for someone on the end of your bench.
All right. Well, that's good advice. I had Pritchard in a couple of places. I dropped him after he got hurt. He's not the kind of guy that was good enough to really stash, but you love those points. And you love the fact as well that the coaching staff there have basically just given him the green light to go off. Tatum was fine for the Celtics. He had 17-6-9 with two steals. He was terrible from the field, but good at the foul line. He is inside the second round value on the season now. He sort of snuck up. He's the 19th ranked player on a per game basis, which is not bad considering you probably drafted him at the end of the first round or early in the second round. So you can't complain too much about that, can you?
No, I mean, we were hoping for better out of Tatum. I think a lot of people expected him to make that leap into the top 10, and he still could, but I think Jaylen Brown's hot start has kind of hurt him a little bit because that's a lot of usage going over to Brown. And so it seems like Brown sort of brought Tatum down a little bit, and then Brown's sort of outshined his draft position. So we'll see. Things tend to even out over the season. So I'd expect Tatum to be solidly in the top 20, if not top 15, by the end of the year.
Yeah, and Jaylen Brown is still continuing to be hot. He's the 21st ranked player on a per game basis. Can you believe it, kids these days? She wants to watch Peppa Pig in Chinese. So there you go. Are you there? Peppa Pig in Chinese.
They're much smarter than we were.
So until I was interrupted by Peppa Pig in Chinese request from my daughter, we were talking about Jaylen Brown. He is the 24th ranked player on a per game basis. He was pretty good today at 12-5-10 with two steals, but 3-for-14 shooting. Detect a theme here. There was terrible shooting in this game from both sides and a number of players. But where do we think he ends up by the end of the season?
Yeah, you know, a lot of questions on the Discord have been around, should I sell high on Jaylen? Is he for real? And, you know, he's been on the verge of a breakout for a number of years, so I think he's totally legit. I think top 25, I think right where he's at is totally reasonable to think that he'll finish there, which is a steal based on probably where you drafted him, which was probably like at least 4th to 5th round. So the fact that he's top 30, I think he can finish this strong and keep doing this. So I'm all in on Jaylen. If someone is trying to get rid of him, I wouldn't give up like a first or second rounder for him. But, there's plenty of third, fourth rounder guys who maybe have been underperforming a little bit, but you can still cash in on their name value and grab Jaylen because I think he's legit.
All right. So if someone tries to sell high, you might consider it. Every now and then you get a sell high offer and you just go, maybe I might take this. So that's one to slip into my top pocket and have a think about. Speaking of top pocket, someone I slipped into there recently was Daniel Tice because he fell onto the waiver wire in a few places. He had 8-5-3 with 2 steals and 4 blocks.
Yeah, that's beautiful. No Robert Williams tonight. So the three-headed center monster there was only a two-headed center monster, which, you know, probably was a big reason Ojeleye got some extra time too. They tend to play him against bigger guys. But yeah, Tice has been a sneaky good value for a number of years now. He's in that like sort of Cody Zeller camp or, you know, where Aaron Baines used to be too. So I like Tice a lot. As long as Williams is out, Tice is a great play. It's just kind of tough to trust anyone when all three of them are healthy.
Wow, you almost won lottery there, because I'm looking at the rankings on the season, and you were talking about Daniel Tice. He's 111th. Cody Zeller, who you mentioned, is 110th. And Robert Williams, who you mentioned, is 113th. If you'd mentioned PJ Washington as well, who's 112th, all the lights would have just gone off. So, I mean, there's reasonable value there. Dante DiVincenzo is 109th. Pat Beverley is 114th. These are all, like, sneaky, good value guys. And so if Tice falls onto your wire after a couple of, bad games or whatever, he's a guy that you can definitely consider scooping up if you need any of those big man statistics. For the Toronto Raptors, speaking of big man statistics, probably the thing that's been most talked about over the last couple of weeks is Chris Boucher, who went through some really rough patch. But he had 25 minutes today, at 12-6-1-1, which is not fantastic. But wait for it. He had 5 blocks. Am I going to eat my words on him? Because I've been saying that I didn't think he would finish inside the top 50, but he's 41 on the season still, based on 48th in the last week, with these blocks that have been pushing him back up.
Yeah, his blocks, the fact that he hits a couple threes a game too, and is rebounding, and only does this in like 20 to 25 minutes, I mean, he's solid. Don't, if somebody's souring on him, go get him, because he's the type of guy who, he's like a Mitchell Robinson type, Miles Turner before this year's huge breakout, where they'll have these pretty bad games and people just seem to get down on them, and they see kind of low numbers in a lot of categories. But in fantasy, when you're averaging out rankings, those blocks along with those threes and boards and the field goal percentage really drive people high up the rankings. So I think Boucher could easily finish probably like top 50 based on his block numbers. Mm. I love Boucher. I wish I had him in more places. If people are selling low, go get him.
Yeah, now, so let's come back to the one we talked about early in the season, which was Ayton. Should I still consider selling Ayton for him? Ayton is up to 70th on the season now, which is what? That's 22 spots behind, and he has been obviously a lot better because he was outside. He was like 130, 140th after the first month or something like that. The last month, Ayton is 58th. He fell off a little bit in the last couple of weeks. He's 100th in the last 2 weeks, but 70th on the season, 100th odd in the last 2 weeks, 58th in the last month.
Yeah, the problem with Ayton, Ayton's ranking really depends a lot on his rebounding and his scoring along with his field goal percentage. He doesn't block the volume of shots that like a Boucher or a Turner or a Robinson does, which is going to keep him outside of that top 50 most of the time, unless he's putting up those huge double-double type numbers like a Sabonis or somebody does. So I would still trade Ayton for Boucher just because of the volume of blocks if you have other good scorers on your team. If you're lacking for points, maybe you hang on to Ayton, especially if you have other block specialists on your team. But if you're hungry for those D stats, I think Boucher is going to be much more consistent when it comes to fantasy production than Ayton will right now.
Yeah, so I think as well, it depends a little bit on who else you've got on your team. Like if you've got other big blocks guys, like the team that I've got Ayton on, I've got Clint Capella, I've got Jeremy Grant, who's a good source of blocks as well, and I've got Thad Young at the moment who gets your steals and blocks, and I've got Marcus Smart. And Kyrie Irving, by the way, is a sneaky good contributor to blocks this season. We think we talked about this before because people shooting lots of shots in his face.
Yeah, when he plays, the tough part with Irving is the number of games. I mean, if you look at it on a per game basis, he looks great, but that's when he is in the game. So yeah. I don't know. I think Boucher on that team could be a nice fit. He's not. It's not like he's. He scores in the double digits. It just would be nice to see him get 25 to 30 minutes consistently. Mm. Nurse just seems to play with his minutes a lot. So the thing with Ayton is, the time's going to be there. He's going to be more consistent. So maybe you just hang on to him. But yeah. I don't know. I could see a big breakout from Boucher, especially if Toronto starts slipping a little bit and Nurse wants to shake things up. He could be the first guy to get more run.
Speaking of Toronto.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, well, let's finish talking about the rest of the guys on their team. Siakam was good. He had 23-4-2 with a steal and 8-for-14 shooting, 2 threes. He's ranked 51 on the season. He's been picking it up a lot after a very poor start. Lowry had 24-6 on 10-15 shooting. That was very tasty. Fred VanVleet had a shocker points-wise, just 5 points on 2 of 9 shooting, but he managed 11 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. He just keeps on keeping on, even when his shooting is rough, by stuffing those other categories. He's been a great draft day steal, Fred VanVleet. For the second year in a row, he's just got even better. Norm Powell was turgid with his shooting, but he still had 15-4. The shooting, like I mentioned, turgid as hell. He had 6-for-15, 0-for-4 from deep, where he just couldn't get it going. Baines was all right for boards in his 20 minutes. He had 8-8-2 assists. That's about all he is, really, a board streamer. The third game of the evening was the Indiana Pacers running out 16 point winners, 111-95 over Detroit. Detroit have slipped a little bit of late, and Indiana have also not been great, so this was a good matchup for them. Detroit had Plumlee as a late scratch with an elbow issue, and that led to extended minutes for Isaiah Stewart, who started in place of Plumlee. He looked great. He had 17-7-1 with 2 steals on 8-for-9 from the field. Isaiah Stewart, is he a man you have in any dynasty leagues or any deep leagues?
I wish. If you can grab him, if for some reason he's sitting out here, he looks like a good one. He's getting a lot of minutes as a rookie. Plumlee's playing great, so... You know, he's not getting as much run as you would hope, but he's been cutting into Plumlee's minutes lately, and all for good for Plumlee. He stepped up his game, but this injury could get him Wally pipped. If you guys are old like I am, he's the one who got hurt, and Lou Gehrig came in and took his place, and then set the record for games played in a row in Major League Baseball. This could be Plumlee getting Wally pipped, possibly. With Stewart getting the start and playing like this, especially on a team that's so terrible and rebuilding, Stewart's minutes are only going to creep up on the 30-year-old Plumlee. So he's a guy I'm looking at it even in redraft leagues right now. If he's out there, not quite 12 teamers yet, but who knows if this elbow injury is pretty severe, Stewart's going to be a hot ad. So keep an eye on him. If you have a spot to burn on the end of your bench, he makes a good speculative ad.
Now, the opposite of hot is what Wayne Ellington is. He had 7 points on 1 of 6 from deep, and he's pretty much been dropped everywhere, hasn't he? You're not scooping him up unless he gets hot again, are you?
No, Ellington's done this for years. When he was on the Knicks, he gets streaky, and everyone picks him up, and then he goes ice cold, and he gets dropped everywhere. But with the way Josh Jackson's been picking up his game and Sadiq Bey, Ellington's gonna have a really short leash. He's gonna occasionally drop 8 threes and he's gonna be a hot pickup again, but he's gonna be super inconsistent.
Also for Detroit, they have a guy called Jeremy Grant who's been obviously their far away their best player. He was not good tonight though. He had 9, 5, and 3, but he had 2 steals and a block, which helps him keep this this value up. 4 of 17 from the field. He has had some bad shooting nights interspersed with good ones of late, but he's still the 24th ranked player on the season, which is just fantastic. If you drafted him like I did around pick 90, and I've got him in 3 leagues, woo-hoo. DeLon Wright. Yeah, absolute steal, isn't it? DeLon Wright was bad. He had 3 of 10. He shot 3 of 10 from the field, just 6, 5, and 3. But again, 2 blocks, the defensive category contributions from him are keeping him floating along very nicely. Blake Griffin had 16-3-6, but just 5 of 15 from the field and 1 of 6 from deep. Josh Jackson, I scooped him up in a few places after he got dropped as soon as Derrick Rose was traded. He had 18-8-4 with a steal and 6 of 8 from the line. Those scoop-ups of him, I got him in 3 places. They're going to provide me with some value, aren't they?
Absolutely. Josh Jackson started the season off on fire, had an injury, had a little bit of trouble kind of getting his form back, getting his minutes, but, you know, he's got the doors wide open for him right now, and he's taking advantage and looks great. So, yeah, I'd pick him up everywhere.
Yeah, I got him in a points league and a couple of category leagues too. Just very, very happy with that. For Indiana, Malcolm Brogdon was good. He had 18, 8, and 9 with 3 steals and 2 blocks. Sabonis was great. He had 2 blocks, almost a triple-double in his 26, 8, 8, and 3 steals as well as those 2 blocks. Wow, that is regret for me because I took LaMarcus Aldridge instead of him. That is my far and away worst decision in fantasy this season, alongside drafting Russell Westbrook in a category league.
Well, hindsight is 26, 8, and 8, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, you can't complain too much because you obviously take some risks and you know, find things like drafting Jeremy Grant pay off, and then at the other end, you do make some mistakes. Turner was fine. He had 14 and 8 with 2 blocks and 2 threes. Lamb was better than he's been of late. He had 17, 5, and 1 with 2 steals. And Justin Holiday looks like a pickup again. I've held him in a few places, dropped him in some, picked him up in others. He's a bit of an off and on teams guy this season. He had 11, 3, and 4 with a steal and 2 threes. Justin Holiday, grab him if he's on your wire.
Yeah, if you got a spot on the end of your bench, he's going to be good until Warren and LeVert get back, which it seems like LeVert's making progress. He's been at practice, so hopefully he gets back on the court soon, because I got him in a couple leagues where it's killing me not having his numbers out there, and I think he's going to be great on Indiana. And who knows what's going on with Warren. I haven't seen any updates, but he's got to be getting at least close. So, yeah, I think Holiday is a good pickup right now. You know, between him and Lamb, it's tough. I kind of like Lamb coming off the bench. And Holiday gives you some good defensive stats and threes. So if that's where your need is, those are always tough to find. So he could be a sneaky pickup.
And a couple of games for us to ram through as we get to the bewitching hour. These games, of course, happen right before we record. It's about it's after 10 o'clock on the Pacific West Coast, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon here in Australia, just past beer o'clock. This game finished just before we started recording, and it was the Golden State Warriors running out winners 111 to 105 over the Magic. Let's talk about the Magic first. God, they just can't take a trick with injuries, can they? Frank Mason. So they've lost. God, gee, it's been so bad. I'm losing Fultz. My train of thought. They lost Fultz first. Then they lost Cole Anthony to injury, and now Frank Mason comes in and plays just 4 minutes. Wow. So Chimura Keke had 35 minutes, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. Is he a pickup, or do we expect Cole Anthony to come back and he won't play those many minutes?
Yeah, I don't think he's quite there yet. So I want to see him do it another time, but that's a lot of minutes. So if you're in a deeper league, he's definitely a pickup, but I don't think he's at the 12 team league pickup point yet.
All of this just means more for Nikola Vucevic. He had 38 minutes, 25 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 3-pointers, 6 for 6 from the foul line. You hate to see injuries, but because I own Vuce in probably 4 or 5 leagues, and these injuries have just made him even more of a monster. Wow, he's first-round value, late first-round value on the season, and there's probably not much going to change that. James Ennis had 17 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. He might be a pickup because of just the opportunity now, right? There's more shots.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to look at the opponent, I think, in this case. The Warriors are really small right now, missing Wiseman and Looney, so anyone with size is just eating them up on the inside. They started the second half with Mike Mulder out there and Draymond playing. It was basically Draymond and 4 3-point shooting guards, so they just got eaten up by the bigger guards and forwards of the Magic. And that's where you see a lot of these numbers come from. So I would like to probably see it repeated against a team with a normal size lineup before I run out and grab them. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Dwayne Bacon had 20 points, 3 rebounds, assist, and 3 steals. But he's another one we probably have to wait and see, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much a one-trick pony. When he's a three-point shooting points guy, he doesn't do a whole lot else. So if that's what you need, he is a streaky guy, and maybe this is the start of a hot streak. So, it could be worth a speculative ad in deeper leagues especially.
Now, speaking of shots being available, Terry Ross, my goodness, he had 27 shots, but it was 8 for 27 at 29%. 20 points... 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He had 2 three-pointers. Terry Ross, he's definitely worth scooping up because of the opportunity, and he won't shoot this badly another night. For the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry, wow. 40 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. In a word, what more can you say? 10 three-pointers on 10 for 19.
10 for 19 is ridiculous. And I watched this game. You know, I'm a big Warrior fan, and he was just classic Steph Curry. He was hitting from everywhere, making himself get, it's amazing how little space he needs to get his shot off. He was doing acrobatic layups. Still had some, he's got to cut down on some of the frustrating turnovers, I know, both for fantasy and in real life. But it's hard to get down on him for anything when he's shooting like this.
Draymond Green, as you mentioned, I think it's the third game in a row with more than 10 assists. He had 8 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, a steal, and a block. Just 3 for 7 from the field, but shooting is not why you have him. Juan Toscano-Anderson had 9 and 5 with 2 assists and a steal and a block. His minutes were a bit down, but he's still a good streamer. Michael Mulder, as you mentioned, had 11 and 5 with an assist. He had 3 three-pointers. Pascal is not doing much at the moment. Damian Lee is not really an ad. So Toscano-Anderson or Mulder, Mulder probably only in deeper leagues, right? He only had 16 minutes.
Yeah, I think the Mulder thing was kind of a fluke, honestly. Toscano-Anderson is definitely a nice streamer for defensive stats and rebounds. He doesn't really shoot a lot at all. He got a couple baskets late in the game because they were like triple teaming Curry. So Toscano got a couple layups at the end there to get his points up a bit. But if you need rebound steals and blocks, you could do a lot worse right now. And it sounds like Wiseman's going to be out at least another 7 to 10 days on top of the initial prognosis. So Toscano's going to have a little more value here for another week and a half or so.
Now, the last game of the evening, which pushed back the beginning of this recording because we were both watching it at the end, was the Blazers running out winners by 4 points over the 76ers, 118-114. This was a bit of a thriller. Very interesting. At the end of the game, the inbounds pass for the 76ers got stolen, and that sort of, it was a bit of a damp squib to kind of end it, but exciting last quarter. For the Portland Trail Blazers, Carmelo Anthony, he's a good streamer at the moment. He had 24 and 2 on 9 for 15 shooting. It's 6 shots in a row to start the fourth quarter. So he was very good. Lillard had 30 and 7 with 2 steals, 4 for 11 from deep, 14 for 15 at the foul line. That is category-winning foul shooting, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, that's what you come to expect out of Dame. You know, he's like a Curry. You know, nothing surprises us with him anymore. He does it all, and you know that's why you draft him with confidence in the first round when you end up with that 8th, 9th pick, and you're not sure who to grab. Grab Dame. He's as safe as they come, especially with McCollum not in the lineup. You know, just be happy and ride him for everything he's worth right now.
And speaking of riding someone for everything they're worth, Gary Trent Jr. continues to be a good long stream. He had 19 points and 4 rebounds with 5 threes. He is the Portland Trailblazers' best 3-point shooter by percentage, even better than Damian Lillard. And so for the points and threes, you just again, he's a guy, if he has a bad game or two and he gets dropped, go and grab him until CJ comes back. Rocco has been a lot better. He didn't do anything with the shooting, just 5 shots for 2 field goals made. He had 5 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal and 1 block, though. If you scooped him up because people dropped him or you bought really low for him, he is been sneaky top 50 value over the last couple of weeks. Derek Jones Jr. had 9, 7, and 1. Rodney Hood had just 8 points and 4 rebounds in his 23 minutes, and Simons had 11 and 2. Enes Kanter had 10 and 14 with 2 assists for the Portland Trailblazers. For the 76ers, Joel Embiid had 35, 9, and 3 with 2 blocks, 13 for 25 shooting. Where do you stand on the MVP between, say, him, Steph, Jokic, and whoever else you throw in there, Kawhi maybe?
Yeah, and I'd say LeBron's probably right up there too. It's tough. I still think Jokic, it's between Jokic and Curry for me, and you could probably even put Giannis up there as well. You know, these stars are playing unbelievable, and if you drafted Embiid, you probably got him towards the end of the first round, beginning of the second. So he's huge value this year, looks really, really good. The 76ers, despite not getting the win tonight, they're going to be a really scary team in the playoffs if they can get healthy and get some of those bench guys back, because tonight was really just all about their three stars. with a little bit of Seth Curry helping out at the end, but it was all about Simmons and Bean and Harris tonight. And when they're all on, they're going to be really tough to beat.
And Simmons had a good fantasy line. He had 23 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal, and a block on 10 for 12 shooting. As I've mentioned before, his field goal percentage is actually a plus, even though he doesn't take those long-range shots, because that's actually good. He's getting 83% from the field today. Wow, if only his three-throw shooting was good. But hang on a moment. 3 for 3 at the foul line. How about that?
Say what?
3 for 3 at the foul line. Toby Harris had 17, 6 and 5. He was 9 for 9 at the foul line, although he missed all of his three-point shots, 0 for 5, including a couple in the fourth quarter that hurt. Danny Green is not the guy you want in terms of the three-point snipers at Seth Curry. He was dropped in a lot of places, came back from coronavirus and did not look good, but he was 6 of 13 from the field, 3 of 7 from deep. Seth Curry is going to be top 100 value at least, isn't he, for the rest of the season, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think people might have forgotten how hot he started this season. And, you know, Maxey coming on and Shake Milton didn't play tonight, so that allowed Curry to get a little bit more run. But he looks great. I mean, they got to be happy to have at least this Curry on their team because his three-point shooting has just gotten better and better every single year. I don't know if he's off-season practicing with his brother and getting tips, but he just keeps getting better, and it seems like he's shaking off that injury, and his leash is getting longer. So, yeah, I think Curry's a great add. Definitely going to be top 100. Might have a couple off nights when Shake Milton or Maxey gets hot, but for the most part, he's going to be really good.
Well, we have reached that end of the show. Again, Brent, that was a wild bit of fun. It was nice to actually catch the end of the game with you as well. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom and having some fun with me on a Thursday evening for you and a Friday afternoon for me. I am off to my weekend, and I'll hope that you have a good rest of your Thursday. And thanks again, mate.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I look forward to this every week. It's super fun to get on here with you. And come join us on the Discord. There's so many channels. It's just insane amount of information. And you get access to all the experts, you know, Dan and Aaron and me and the other guys. We're on there constantly for hours at a time every day answering questions about everything fantasy basketball. So come and join us and hit me up on Twitter at Brent Middleman. If you have any fantasy basketball questions.
That is what you should do. Thanks very much, Brent, and we'll catch you next week. Bye for now, and good luck, everybody.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.